The last matter on the court's docket is the Nanush versus Yusef matter. Mr. Hiss.
Your Honor, nice to see you. Ladies and gentlemen, I was in hopes to say good morning, but apparently it's good afternoon.
Well, I think you're still within the morning.
Well, we made it. I watched a little fast. I'm sorry. So please the court. My name's Ron Hiss, here on behalf of the appellant, Mr. Nanush. This matter comes before this court. His appellant's troubled by the court's ruling and confused as to how the court arrived at their ruling. I did a lot of research on when the courts are wrong, and I recognize, Judge Atlee, that I have an uphill battle. However, I believe, and the appellant believes, that the evidence is clear and the court either disregarded or ignored it. There are, we believe, five items of evidence that were presented to this court.
Let's take them one by one. Let's start with your assignment of error number one.
Yes, ma'am.
It seems to me that the assignment of error is defaulted and that we can't consider it under 5A22. Opening brief doesn't contain principles of law or citations to legal authorities to develop. Is that not right?
Oh, regarding tax return, Your Honor?
First issue, first assignment error. That's what I have to get to. We're talking about.
I mean, Judge, I hate to say it.
He refused to testify as to tax returns he had personally prepared. That's the first assignment.
Yes, sir. Ma'am.
So, in making that argument, do you feel you've complied with Rule 5A20C?
I was so taken aback by the judge's ruling that we couldn't go any further that I basically dropped the matter, so I don't think I could comply with that rule because I didn't make a record. I don't have any case law to support it.
There's no case law. The principles aren't articulated in your argument. 5A20C requires that.
I'm going to concede that, then, Your Honor. That's been a real difficulty for us.
You're saying you don't need any? There must be some case out there.
I'm sure there is, but, Your Honor, we were more focused, and I remain focused on the ruling of the voluntary unemployment versus involuntary unemployment, for lack of a better term, and the Reese versus Reese case, which I'm going to.
Well, let's get to it, because I think you've got similar problems under assignments of errors 2, 3, and 5, where the arguments that you now raise for our court, made in the trial court, 5A18 issue, 2, 3, and 5, that doesn't appear to be.
Would you like me to start with?
Any one you want to start with?
Well, we'll start with two, I believe.
Two, yes.
Where the court we take a position that, given any weight to the expert's testimony, was, we use the word phantom, but it just didn't make any sense to us that the court would consider the testimony, given the record, the
transcript. The question is, did you make the argument as the argument you're making here? Did you make that argument in the trial court?
I'm going to try to be very politically correct. No. I've tried a few cases in front of trial courts. This panel has a lot of experience. I know when not to argue with the trial court, and I probably didn't make as forceful an argument as I could have. I objected. The record does show the objection. And I questioned the expert's findings and qualifications and where it came from. And the terminology, for example, search.
But at the time that the trial court admitted evidence with respecting to Mr. Nanush's ability to obtain employment, did you make an objection to the admission of that evidence?
I objected to the expert overall because he didn't know a thing about this business.
Overall, but
he was overruled.
So he was qualified over your objection as an expert. But I think Judge Annunziata's question is, once he was qualified as an expert and got into the individual testimony about your client's ability to obtain employment, did you object to any individual questions that would form the basis for your assignment of error?
I don't believe there are any objections to the questions that opposing counsel was asking, because it was clear that the, after a bit of a colloquy between myself and the trial court, that the court was going to hear what that vocational expert was going to testify to, whether it was relevant, and I think I made an argument about heart surgeons, whether it was relevant or, to my client or not.
But I suspect if he'd asked the expert to confirm whether or not the moon was in fact made with green cheese, you'd have probably objected, wouldn't you?
I'm not sure I would have at that point, Your Honor. I've been before trial court judges that don't want to see me jumping up and down before, and this was pretty clear.
But of course, you remember your first duties to your client, not to any one of us in the black.
And I very much recognize that, and I will tell you that I thought that I brought the expert's expertise into question enough so that the trial court would recognize that he was not offering anything more than an internet search and jobs that were available to someone who he was opining that jobs are available to someone who's been out of the field for some 15 years and has religious convictions against those jobs. But no, I did not say I object to this question, I object to this question, I object to this question, frankly. I didn't do it.
Well, that gets us then to assignment of error number
Excuse me, ma'am, you're going to have to speak up. Sure. I got hearing aids on, and this is a
not a problem. Assignment of error number three. How is that not defaulted? Where do you make a specific argument that it is based upon his religious beliefs and under Article 1, Section 16 of the Virginia Constitution? Where is that in the record?
Yeah, the we spent quite a bit of time going through the how the job was, how his industry was presented, or how this industry worked. And Mr. Nashnosh, we educated the trial court extensively, at least we tried to extensively. We also questioned the findings, and you'll see the last page, 179 of the of your record in the transcript, where the expert says, even though this has been he has been in Islamic mortgages, he has shown that he's a real leader in the field, and he would have a chance. As far as his religious beliefs,
the question is, did you make the argument below that Mr. Nashnosh's First Amendment right to free exercise of religion was being violated?
Well, it was clear.
Did you make that argument?
That his first, no, I don't think I did. I think it was.
That's all the question is, really.
I did not. I think that it was clear that he was trying to stay within his religious convictions. Excuse me.
And how about the fifth assignment of error? The trial court abused discretion by considering the argument without supporting evidence offered by Mr. Youssef from the mediation of the final
consent.
I
even objected to her opening argument about that. That was improper, probably so, but it was still opening argument, and I found it very unusual that the court would hear, and I even suggested that perhaps flippantly, that we could retry this case if necessary. I found it very unusual that the court was entertaining and hearing the arguments from the mediation without any evidence whatsoever about the mediation and what the opposing counsel very craftily did, and Judge Attlee was bringing up in a previous case, she questioned, or brought into question, Mr. Nashnosh's veracity, which, by the way, I did not represent in the mediation, and the carrying over of that veracity to the court. That was well done on her part, but I don't think the court should have considered that, because A, it wasn't in evidence, and B, it was a mediation and it was an issue of paying off college debts. He transferred money to his sister to pay off college debts. The mediation said you can't do that, so he transferred it back, and he got penalized for it. But I think the court considered that. In fact, I'm just positive the court considered that. And once you lie to a trial court, as all three of you know, it's very hard to ever rehabilitate yourself, and very, very hard to ever become credible. And I don't think the trial court should have considered that, and I did object to it. But once again,
let's. Of course, I'm going to recheck the record. I didn't think that the argument was made. But let's go on to the assignment of error number four about the failure to consider evidence provided by your client.
I believe
that it wasn't considered and it wasn't sufficient. So tell me about that.
Well, there's first party evidence, which I'm just an old kind of guy that figures out if somebody testifies and they testify truthfully, that's evidence. Then the trial court gets to balance whether they believe that person or not. That's solely in their discretion, and they can completely discount it. The second thing was the documents, which are the letter, the paycheck stubs, and the new employment letter. Those documents were admitted, and they speak for themselves. There was no cross-examination of them. There was no question about their veracity. There was no question about their reliability. It was very clear, I thought, given to the court, trial court, that he'd been discharged. He'd been discharged because the position was no longer available, not because something he had done. He had sought a new job. We have the job offer. That came in as evidence. And then the paycheck stubs. Now, those are, and I think you'll see, I've said this to the trial court. I wrapped myself in those documents because by the end of this year, it was clear that that's what I ought to do because I wouldn't go anywhere else with anything else. I wrapped myself in those three documents. Those documents speak for themselves.
Excuse me. Isn't your argument essentially, at this level, it's that the court didn't consider them?
I don't believe the court did consider them, but I didn't get that.
Just basically your client is not happy with the result because the court found that he was underemployed.
Well, no, I don't believe the court considered them because how could the court arrive at him being unemployed without, unless it just ignored that evidence? Voluntarily
unemployed.
I think that's why I'm here before the court, is the Reese case is voluntary versus involuntary or willful.
Part of it was that he chose not to accept the severance package. That can come into consideration.
If he chose not to accept the severance package, once again, go back to the Reese case. If he chose
not. He voluntarily took a job that was well below.
Well, he took a job at exactly per month what he'd actually been making in the prior job. Everything else is commission. That's not part of the record.
But the standard of view is that the court's decision was plainly wrong. There is evidence that can be pointed to that the court apparently relied on.
Okay.
And again, your assignment is that the court didn't consider the evidence. But it seems like the court did consider it, but just didn't agree with the evidence.
Well, if the court did consider it, let's take the severance package.
Yes.
And that's, I'm prepared for that argument. If the court did consider it, then it's $170,000 a year max. It's really $120,000 with a $50,000 bump at the end of the 13th month. It's $170,000 a year, not $325,000, which is what the payments are based on.
That was better than $120,000, which is what he did do voluntarily without effort to mitigate all of that. Couldn't it?
I'm trying to grab hold of your statement that he turned down $170,000 and the court.
It's only what's in the trial court. I'm only pointing to the evidence that I think was in the court.
I agree with you.
That's all I'm saying.
And that evidence says it's $170,000. How is that not a substantial change in circumstances? And how is that voluntary unemployment?
That's what the court below said. That's how it weighed what happened in this case. And again, I'm referring to your assignment of error that the court didn't consider Mr. Nashwish's evidence. I don't know if there's any evidence that you didn't consider it. You don't like the result, I think.
Well, I think what the evidence the court didn't choose to.
What other evidence was there?
And that's why I was.
What's the other evidence that you think the court didn't consider?
That's why I struggled so much with this case.
Okay.
I thought this was a 30-minute motion. I truly did. As you can read from the transcript, the court didn't agree with me, and I said that. I believe there were three pieces of evidence. I took this case on after two very large Fairfax domestic relations firms had finished with it. I took this case on because it seemed very simple and I could help this guy. He got fired for no reason of his own. He went out and found the best job possible at $120,000 with a real future, and right now he's making $10,000 a month. That was the evidence. Then his testimony in the beginning is to why he did that, which I thought was important to educate. And then the expert that they brought in, I don't like to use that word because he just didn't even appear to be an expert, and the hedging of the expert's bets in his entire testimony. That's, I think, the entire evidence that's before the trial court, and I think the trial court simply ignored it.
Thank you for your evidence.
Thank you.
You're out of time.
Jose, it's lovely seeing you. You guys, don't get up and come down and shake my hand.